it's nice. Special, obviously had lots of fun memories here. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. They kept it going for a while too, so it wasn't just like a couple of second thing and it was over. So yeah, nice one.
You mentioned not knowing what to expect. Were you surprised with the booze at all?
Not really.
That's the voice of Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers, formerly of the Calgary Flames, and Tkachuk's Panthers lose 6-2 to Calgary last night. Wasn't in the best mood post game, clearly, after his team got spanked.
Nor should he be.
Nor should he be. But of course, big debate we had on this show yesterday with Jeff O'Neill. Would Tkachuk get a ovation or would he be booed? In fact, the answer was both.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I watched the first period of that game and I heard some of the boos. They weren't like hater boos. Like, they hate him. They were just more of like, hey, you don't play for us anymore, boos.
Yeah. Clearly, well, and then Hubie's better chance didn't help either.
Well, that was late in the game when the game was 6-2, they're chanting that in the third period. But I think what you saw with the video tribute and you saw the extended standing ovation cheers for Matthew Tkachuk, I think that's how the fans in Calgary really feel about him.
Well, a man who is universally beloved everywhere he goes, including here on First Up, joins us now. It is TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin. What's happening, Dave?
Good morning, gentlemen. A little bit of a raspy voice. It's that time of year. Mm-hmm. A lot of hockey, a lot of calls, a lot of cold cities. Yeah. thinking about Matthew Tkachuk last night, a little bit different in going back. And when I went back to Philly the first time, I had a nice reception, nice cheers. But then eventually they start cheering for their team. It's not personal, but you're not a Flyer anymore. He's not a Flame anymore.
Right.
Plus, he jilted them, right? He didn't get traded away. He told them he didn't want to stay. And so many people live in Calgary because they love the city of Calgary. They get the mountains right there. They got everything skiing. They got, great summers. And he was choosing not to choose their lifestyle and their city. And that's personal. That's different, I think. And so, it started off fairly warm, and then it got to the booze, but then it got to, okay, well, you play for another team now. We're Flames fans, as much as we're Matthew Tkachuk fans. And that's the case. Any single player, eventually, they're going to start to cheer for their fans. They're going to start to cheer for their own team again, and you don't play for them. But I think in this case, this is like the friend you never really got to have. You never even got to know you. I just want to go somewhere else. And that's personal. I think that's personal. And that's why it was probably a little different last night. Plus the type of player he is. They know how effective he is because he's agitated for the Flames for so long and so effective for them. And I think that both teams are kind of struggling right now. Almost makes it a little bit easier. Like if they'd have come in on a rip and tear and he'd have been, he's doing well. But his team's not.
Right.
Makes it a little more satisfying for them deep down.
Yeah, absolutely it does, Pooley. And, I think it played out the way it should have played out. I mean, the fans and the tribute that they gave him, I think that was warranted because of everything he left on the ice and everything he did for that team, both on and off of it. And they move on. Both parties move on. The fans cheer after the game that Hubie's better, and clearly they're going to have to live with Huberto for the next 8 years.
Yeah, for better or for worse there.
Pooley, I'm curious to know. I mean, you've had a long career, and Mitch Marner is on a 17-game heater, as Jack Hughes would say. Were you ever involved in any point streaks in your career, and how did you handle it, and how superstitious were you with it?
Yeah, let's get a relative streak of the same length. So his 17 games would be 3 for me, or maybe 4 for me.
Come on, don't sell yourself short.
A terrific heater. I don't really remember any. I don't remember, it wasn't as big a deal then. The points, I had a couple 70-point years.
Yeah, there was no coverage back in the day to make everybody know.
I mean, you knew when you were playing well, and you knew when you were in a groove, and you knew when things were going well. But it wasn't as magnified as it is now. And to be able to do it now, I think it's really impressive. It's the way he's doing it. And I don't really think, the pressure of doing it is great because, you're thinking of the Leafs that you would roll up against. And certainly in Eddie Olczyk and Daryl Sittler, and one of my favorites in Daryl Sittler. And it's pretty heady company. It really is for a team with as long a history as it has. But I don't really remember it being a personal thing with me. You just wanted to play well, and you wanted to win. And I think if you ask him right now, he'd be able to tell you his team is 10-1-3. More so than he'd be able to tell you he'd scored in 17 straight games. And I think the Leafs are getting to that point. I really do. And this sequence they're going through right now, guys, is pushing them to that point. And I saw a stat yesterday where they're set to become the lowest in this last 6 years, the lowest goals for with the lowest goals against. And so it's a little bit different structure. And they have to win in a different way with the defense they're putting out there on a nightly basis, which is a whole different story, which is an intriguing story to me. They have to be better as a group, as an entire group, defensively. And that Detroit game, that guys, that was a workmanlike effort. That was really efficient. And if I can count the number of times I saw a centerman in Matthews or Tavares below the goal line in the defensive zone, bailing out a D and getting a 5 foot pass and initiating the breakout from low, that's a team that's competing as a group. And it's interesting. And they've done this at various stages along the way. And there's been times in the past when you say, okay, has this forced them to actually get it? We won't know. We won't know if it's sustained. But right now, they're getting it as a team, without a question.
We're in conversation with TSN hockey analyst Dave Poulin here on First Up. Dave, you called the San Jose Sharks-Montreal Canadiens game in Montreal last night for TSN. So you got a firsthand look at Toronto's opponent tonight in the Sharks, who shut out Montreal 1-4-0. What can the Leafs and Leafs fans expect to see from San Jose tonight in Toronto?
Well, we were really excited to see Erik Karlsson last night. He was pretty quiet offensively, but he's skating very well. And he's the central figure on that hockey club right now. Pretty close game going into the third period, a 1-0 game, but a close game as well. And, and the score doesn't always dictate that, but it was a close game. And then a 5-on-3 for Montreal to start the period, unable to score. San Jose comes back and bangs him in right after and then rolls with the game. But you're seeing a team that, surprisingly, has the number one penalty kill in the league. And they were really good last night. They were 6-for-6, but they were good, too. They're moving as a unit. They're really tight. And it's interesting because I chatted with their group, and, that's a whole new coaching staff there. So they go in. Well, they were number two in the league last year, which actually surprised me. They didn't have a good year, but they were number two in penalty kill. And the coach who was taking over was told, yeah, just don't mess this up, okay? They, in fact, are number one, and they were on top of pucks. And so that's what, that could be a central conversation point tonight. Can that penalty kill do what they did last night, be as efficient and good as they were last night? And because you know how good Toronto's power play is.
Cooley, just some other news across the league. The Seattle Kraken win one of the most exciting games in hockey last night, 9-8. I'm not sure how much you've seen of the Seattle Kraken, but what do you make of their fast start? And do you think this is a team that could surprise many and actually make a playoff push?
The last point I don't know about, if this is as real as it is. I've seen them a couple times. They've injected a couple of, exciting players in. Barakovsky, certainly. Matty Beniers is going to be a star guy. He's an offensive guy. But, Carlo, that was right up our alley. That was a street hockey game where the next goal wins, right? And so someone has got the call to go in for dinner. You're playing in the courtyard. And the mom who called you in, she's the mom who you got to be in on time, right? Because she's made hot dinner. And the next goal wins and it's 9-8. I was having flashbacks to when I played. It was great. You'll love those games from an offensive standpoint. Probably not you so much as defenseman, Carlo, but those were really fun games. But that's an impressive group. Their expectations last year, guys, totally unrealistic to think that they were going to do what Vegas did. And yet, could they be a team that, and they're not using, they're not using their high pick this year, Shane Wright. They're not using some of their draft picks. And it looks pretty efficient right now from a standpoint of, of being able to roll. And now their crowd is in with the buildings in it. It's rolling good. It's fun to watch from a distance. It really is.
Dave, I'm looking at some of the highest scoring games in NHL history. Your Philadelphia Flyers in 1984 actually played in two of them. You beat the Canucks 13-2.
And then you beat points.
Oh, of course he racked up. But Dave Poulin, of course he had some points. And then against Pittsburgh, in March of 1984, 13-4. So Dave Poole and the secret ingredient to some high-scoring affairs.
So I've got a funny story to that.
I might have had a Hattie in that Pittsburgh game.
Let me check that.
I've been in two games in my career.
He did. He did have a Hattie. It's true. Wow. He did have a Hattie and assist. 4 points.
Wow. So the reason why I say be careful with that, because I've been involved in 2 10-goal games in my favor and had 0 points coming out of both those games.
That's embarrassing. Were you at least plus, like on the plus side?
The first one in Detroit, I was a -2. Ooh. We lost 10-2. Or we won 10-2 and I was -2. Yeah, you can understand how I felt about that one.
Yeah, well, Pooley gets the hat trick, so he knows what's going on. Dave, thank you for doing this for us. Safe travels back to Toronto. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Dave Poulin, our hockey analyst. 13-4. Hat trick for Dave Poole. And man, they must have been feeling good. Once you hit double D's, you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Like, how much are we going to pile it on here? And I guess it was the 80s in the NHL. So a lot of goals scored, no doubt. Not that many goals scored in the World Cup yesterday. Although, you know what? England scored 3. Senegal and Ecuador had 3 goals combined. And the U.S. and Iran, a 1-0 final for the Americans. We'll get into that with Kyle Bond from the Sporting News, who covers soccer/footy. And I did hear Greg Berhalter, the coach of the U.S. team, call it soccer yesterday. Probably the purist, just cringing every time the S word is said on the pitch. So we'll also play some bet and breakfast on the other side. How did Rod do in his parlay yesterday? We're going to find out. I can't recall exactly. Probably not well, would be my guess, because we didn't hear about it.
He probably had Iran in one of those.
No, there's no way he was taking Iran. Maybe he was. We'll find out on the other side, and we'll also have to play this audio from Jerry Jones, who was doing a radio interview for Dallas yesterday in one of the Dallas sports radio stations. He had a Darren Dreger moment. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, no way.
We'll hear that next.
Time now for TSN 1050 Time Saver Traffic.
This traffic report is brought to you by JanPro, proudly serving Canadian businesses for over 25 years. Put your trust in JanPro, the leader in commercial cleaning and disinfection services. Visit janpro.ca today.
We'll start in York Region this morning, where on the southbound 400 at Major Mac, a vehicle fire now occupies 2 right lanes with more pronounced delays behind it. Northbound 427 after the 407, a crash in the HOV in left lane. Actually, getting on to the northbound 427 from the westbound Gardner, we have a left lane blocked with that crash on the ramp. On the stretch of Leslie and Lakeshore towards the waterfront, we have a collision and problems on Kingston Road west of Woodbine Avenue. Got PC Optimum points? Today's the last day of the biggest bonus redemption event of the year. Get the most for your points today only at Shoppers Drug Mart. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Jody Thornton.
Want to listen to your favorite shows from home? Just tell your home speaker to tune in to TSN 1050.